to reflect and prepare ourselves for worship. Got a prize for anyone that can tell me what the technical name of the third Sunday of Advent is. Gaudet Day, which is God. It's Latin, so it's Gaudete, and it means rejoice. And it's the Sunday where we rejoice. The model for that is the Mother of our Lord, the Virgin Mary, and that's why we light the rose candle today. Another way you can remember it, it is not pink, even though it looks pink. And the way you can remember it is because Jesus didn't pink from the grave, he rose from the grave. So we light the rose candle, and it's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. So we're grateful that you're here with us as we continue our march through Advent. I want to remind you that our church Christmas potluck is today. We'll gather at the Heritage Community Center at Windhurst. We're very grateful for two residents that are there, Agnes and Sue. They've made it where we can meet there. It's just a very festive and warm place. We'll open the doors around 12. We'll eat around 1. It's a true potluck. So we'll just, if we have all desserts, that'll be fine. If we have whatever, we'll have a great time. Bring enough for your family and to share, and everyone is welcome. It would be a great time together. Next Sunday, Christmas Eve, of course, we'll have our normal Christmas morning service at 10 o'clock, and then we'll have our 9 p.m., we'll have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we invite all of you to be there. The only meeting this week, the Bible studies won't meet this week or next week, but we are having the men's group. So we are having the men's group at 7 o'clock at the smokehouse behind Carolyn's house. So join us for that. Any other announcements? All right, let's move to prayer requests. And as we begin prayer requests, I want to give a couple praises. The first praise is we've got a bunch of birthdays this week. Yesterday was Tony I's birthday, and I hope you had a good birthday. And today is Chris Warman's birthday, and I hope she'll have a good birthday. I think Dave Dietrich has a birthday coming up Tuesday, and Patty Miller has a birthday coming up. And then a week from Monday, we all know that special birthday, don't we? On the 25th, of Carolyn Ashwell, my mother Carol, and Jesus. So the three of them will celebrate the birthday. But I give praise for all of that. It is wonderful to celebrate life, for Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we welcome and celebrate all of you. Any other prayer requests or praises? Agnes?
Tom Stevens. Okay. Mr. Mercer.
Okay.
And Tom. It's affecting his heart.
Tom Seaman has Mercer, and it's affecting his heart. So let's keep him in prayer. Yes. Carrie.
I have two prayer requests. Just keep my mom in your prayers. Long story short, she still can't hear Madison until Monday. But she's doing better. Yesterday was a really good day for her. And then also, he's a lot younger than I was, but a friend of ours passed away yesterday, Joe Cartwright. Just keep the Cartwright family in your prayers. He was 48 years old.
We will certainly keep Darby in our prayers. We're glad it went well. We'll pray that it will go well Monday. We'll pray for the Joe Cartwright family. Also, the friend that we've been praying for, Sean Butler, how's he doing?
Still doing chemo, still hard-headed and working, but has been in a lot of pain. The tumor's still there. Every week he's posting something on Facebook. Be proactive. Don't wait as long as he did, but right now he's still doing okay and appreciates all the prayers.
Let's continue to keep Sean Butler in our prayers as well. Any others? Yes, Judy.
We got a text from my daughter this morning. There was a very, very serious medical concern at her church. she said, whose name God knows, and she asked for, please, to do intensive prayer.
So Judy's daughter, Samantha, her church is in Richmond?
Petersburg.
Petersburg. What's the name of it?
Christ and Grace.
Christ and Grace Episcopal Church in Petersburg. They have a real serious medical issue. They're asking for prayers. So let's keep Samantha and that church in our prayers. Anyone else? Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, my mother, Mamie, it's been about a month since she fell and broke her hip, and she's still very weak, unable to walk or really do much of anything for herself. We put her this week into the long-term care at the Summit, and she still has a lot of pain. So I guess I'd really like to pray for her pain to go away.
Let's keep Mamie in prayer. I'm glad to hear she's at the Summit. I know week before last, she still has a great mind. And she's 93?
She's almost 92.
Almost, okay, I don't want to rush it. She's almost 92. Yeah, great mind. So let's keep it. Maybe let's go pray. Anyone else? Carol?
Bob, and for Joan, Mindy and I, as we travel today over Richmond in the rain.
We want to keep Bob Carson in our prayers. His decline has been quite rapid. He's not been very responsive at all in the last 2 or 3 days, and he's in hospice care. So just pray for his family. He's at his daughter Chris's house, and pray for all those as they're walking the final days with Bob and also my mom as she travels. Thank you. Anyone else? Dave Gardner.
I have a remembrance of a praise. 47 years ago, my parents died. Both my parents died in an airplane crash. And so it's always a day of remembrance to my brother Rick and myself. And I find it interesting that God provided the best golden retriever we ever got, which was born 3 years ago today. So Mandy's birthday is today. So
we have
a loss and a praise.
You know what dogs spell backwards is.
Yeah.
And most of our dogs are the greatest source of unconditional love we know. So we rejoice with you in that, and we remember in the blessedness of your parents. What were your parents' first names?
Bud and Daisy.
Bud and Daisy. We'll keep them. You and Rick and your families in our prayers. Anyone else? Lisa?
I have a praise. My brother-in-law, who had a stroke while out of town, came back to Virginia to UVA's rehab center, and he did so well with the rehab that he has already gone home.
Good. And his name is it David?
Mike.
Mike, okay. Mike. So let's keep Mike in our prayers. All right. Thank you, Mike. Yes, ma'am. Katie.
I have a praise. My neighbor across the street that we were praying for, Tim Odie, had lymphoma, and he is doing so well, and he got a clearance from at UVA, and he was so well that he went up on my roof and got all my leaves off the roof.
So, praise God. So let's continue to keep Tim Odie in our prayers as he's continuing to do well. Yes, ma'am.
Just keep Margaret in your prayers.
Let's keep
Christmas season for her is just, you know, she just, I don't know, yesterday she almost just, I couldn't even calm her down. She was so upset she hadn't gotten everything done, and, you know, she's just so worried about making sure everybody gets what they need, and she doesn't know how to write a check anymore. It's just,
let's keep Margaret in our prayers. This is a wonderful time of the year, and it's a difficult time of the year. I was speaking to someone yesterday, and they put it in such a poignant way. She said that this time of the year is beautiful and brutal, and it can be both. So let's just be sensitive to all and look to the only comfort we have. But we'll keep Margaret in prayer.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I want to keep all those that are traveling in our prayers, and Brother Mankey's and others are traveling already, and some of you still might. And the final thing, if there's no other, I want to give praise to a dear, dear, dear friend of mine that I haven't seen for a while. I got to see today. And Gwen, it's good to have you back here. We are so grateful. All right, let's pray together, and we'll end our worship. Our gracious and holy God, the one who is truly the only source of our hope and our peace and our joy, we thank you for the goodness that we find only in Christ. Truly, Jesus is the reason of the season, and if we understand your incarnation properly, it was out of love for us that you came to forgive us of our sins, to grant us access through your righteousness into the presence of the Father, and to join us in a loving body of your brothers and sisters that are all looking to you as our only Father. We're grateful that we have one another. As we walk through life, and in particular as we walk through this emotionally laden time, we pray that where there is hurt, your Spirit would give comfort, and where we are able, that we would give comfort to those. Often from our own experiences, we are the recipients of comfort so that we can pass that on to others. And we pray that we would be mindful of the needs and wants of others. We're grateful that you are a patient God who never crushes the bruised reed, but you tenderly support and uphold and strengthen. We pray for you to do that for those during this season. In particular, we lift up these individuals that have been mentioned for prayer. We pray that you be with Tom with his mercy. We pray that you'll bring him healing. We pray that you will be with Darby. We just thank you that it went well this past week. We pray that Monday will go well and help her to continue to have good days. We thank you that Tim is doing so well, and Mike is doing so well, and continue to strengthen them. We pray that you would be with Mamie. We pray that the pain would be alleviated. We thank you for her spirit and her faith in you. We pray that you would strengthen her and reduce the pain. We pray that you would be with Margaret and others that are hurting. We pray that you would be with Joe Cartwright, his family. We also pray that you would be with those that are looking toward the end of life, for Sean and for Bob and all those that love them. We pray that you'll give strength. We thank you as we look back on losses that we've had. We remember those that we have that we remember in the past who have gone to glory, and in particular we've looked up Bud and Daisy and the rich memories that they have that strengthen Dave and Rick and all their families, continue to do so. We pray that you would be with the situation at Samantha's church. We pray that you'll work healing, and we just pray that your peace will settle upon whatever that situation is. We also ask, Lord, that you would be with the one that comes to mind at this time. May you work your healing grace. And may we all lift high your holy name, who is truly our joy in life and in death. And we thank you for all things, and we pray in that name. Amen.
If you look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us in the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 126 as our call to worship and our sermon text. Then we'll light the third Advent candle and stand and sing the first Noel. Let us call each to worship by whole verse. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
And then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the Negev.
Those who sow with tears will reap the songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
When God's people were surrounded by hardship, suffering, and grief, as they have proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit.
We come today as people who are also surrounded by suffering and grief, and yet the Spirit hovers among us, tending and anointing, inspiring freedom where there is captivity, declaring blessing in places the world has cursed, and igniting fierce joy where mourning and heartache prevail.
We wait as people who experience hardship and pain, yet we are called to be witness to the persistent joy that sustains our life as God's people.
We light these candles as signs of our shocking hope, just peace, and fierce joy. May our lives shine with the fierce, tenacious joy of the light who lives in our hearts as we wait and work for the coming of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah 61, 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Glory to God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Second reading is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.
Came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I failed to mention both a prayer request and a praise, and I'd like to do that. And the prayer request is keep Glenn and Ruth Harvey in your prayers. They're having a difficult time and just very weak, so keep both Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. And the other joy I have, it's good to have Denise with us here. And I always like it when you come to town because you bring your two chauffeurs with you. So it's good to have all of you here. Grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto each one of you. What is your relationship with gifts? I mean, this is the season of gifts. And what I mean by my question is, how do you deal gifts? I think that there are one or two types. I'm curious. There are some that they try to sneak, and they'll shake the package. They'll try to find the packages in closets. They maybe, even as my brother would do, they would gently with a razor blade open up the packaging and try to find. And then they pester their parents to at least open a gift on Christmas Eve. They just want it now. How many of you are like that? Okay. I have to confess, I'm the other type. I like to put it off until the end. Even on the waking up in the morning, I don't want to open Christmas gifts until or cards until Christmas Day. I like to put it off. And if I'm honest, the reason I like to put it off is I sort of like the excitement to build. I don't want it to be over. But let me give you a truth when it talks about excitement. And I want you to listen to this because it'll affect our joy. Our emotions follow our expectations. And our expectations are determined by our thinking. The proverb says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." A lot of people don't want to have expectations. William Shakespeare, who was obviously gifted and a genius in one way, was a quite troubled man. And he said that expectation is the root of all heartache. And sometimes we believe that. And we say, well, I don't want to have any expectations because if I have expectations, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be disappointed. The problem with that, and there's a whole religious stream that says true happiness or nirvana comes from denying all expectations and desires. And that sounds good on paper, to get rid of expectations. But the truth of the matter, as we see from the beginning of Scripture to the very end, as Solomon says so wonderfully in Ecclesiastes, God, our Creator, has set eternity in our souls. So we can't deny. We expect something better. C.S. Lewis said, just the fact that we long for that which is heavenly we long for that which is lofty, shows that that's what we were created for. And he says that on the other hand, what happens is we settle for making mud pies because we lower our expectations. I'm going to try to convince you to raise your expectations, to change your thinking, because it'll drastically affect your joy. Tim Keller, who recently passed away and was a very well-known author and Presbyterian pastor, he called Psalm 126, which I want to use for the sermon, he called it an emotional roadmap for the soul. So let's look at Psalm 126. It was probably written by Ezra, who you know from the book of Ezra, he and Nehemiah were a part of trying to restore Jerusalem. Nehemiah worked on the wall. Ezra worked on rebuilding the temple. But let me set the stage for where we are in Psalm 126. If you may remember from your Old Testament history, Jerusalem fell in 586. Everything they knew was destroyed. They were taken into exile, but then they were released. Many stayed, but some returned back to Jerusalem and tried to build it again. And they struggled because they had expectations of the original grandeur of the first temple. They had expectations that everything would be exactly like it was. And they found that things weren't the same. And they struggled with that. I would argue that as a country, as a world, we've experienced that in our own life. All of us entered the pandemic thinking it would be about 3 weeks and we'd get back to normal. And it went on month after month and a year, and we just couldn't wait for everything to get back to normal. And guess what we found? It got back to something. But it's not what we anticipated. It's not what we expected. That normal that we thought once we got to, everything would be honky-dory again. And we'd have all the glories of the way it used to be. We found hollow and not what we experienced. And that's sort of where we are, this Israelites were in Psalm 126. This emotional roadmap can be divided by the passage of time. If you look at your insert or your scripture, verses 1 through 3 talk about the past. Verses 4 through 5 talk about the present. And verses second half of 5 through 7 talk about the future. Let's see if Keller's right as we look at this. See if this psalm helps us as Ezra hoped it would help the people of Israel. The second thing is, the first thing is verses 1 through 3. They were longing for the past. They were longing for the past. They wanted the way it was back. They wanted to return to the glories of Jerusalem. They wanted, now that we're free, now that we're no longer exiled, we want to have it like it was. You know, freedom is a wonderful thing in a way, but in another way, it's frightening. If you remember the movie Shawshank Redemption, they talk about the concept of institutionalized men. And institutionalized men are fearful of being set free. Just because you were set free, as we know in our own American history, if you set a slave free, that's a wonderful thing, but there's no normal for them to go to. It's frightening. You have to reinvent yourself. And I would suggest to you that whether you've ever been physically incarcerated or mentally incarcerated or have had difficulties or not, we're all having to constantly, as we walk through life, reinvent ourselves around changing normals, right? Nothing remains the same. So what do we do with that? Well, I think that when we think of the past, there's a healthy and an unhealthy way of thinking about it. The scripture talks a lot about remembering, and I'll speak about it in a few moments. But the opposite of remembering is the word nostalgia. I've done a lot of reading this past week on the whole concept of nostalgia, or being, you know, something's nostalgic. And what I've come to the understanding, and it was really enlightening, that nostalgia is the wrong use of memory. The word nostalgia was first coined by a Swiss psychiatrist, doctor, in the 17th century. And he said, and I'll quote, that nostalgia is the suffering evoked by the desire to return to one's place of origin. It's the suffering evoked by the desire to return to one place of origin. It comes from two Greek words, nostos and algos. Nostos means to return. Algos means pain. And what they studied is that Swiss mercenaries that would go and fight in battle, all they wanted to do was to go back home. They had this obsessive homesickness, this wishing that we could go back. And I guarantee you, I had an opportunity, and I have had with most of you, to talk. There's a point where all of us feel that life would be just so much better if we could rewind it to a certain point. If we could go back to that way it we thought was better. Fred Davis wrote a book in 1979 that's very good, I've enjoyed, Yearning for Yesterday, A Sociology of Nostalgia. And he said this nostalgic way of looking at the past is an obsessive thinking of home. It leads to bouts of weeping and anxiety and palpitations and insomnia. It's that thinking that the best days are behind us. That the way it was the best. And let me suggest to you that this way of thinking will kill joy. This way of thinking that the best days are behind us will kill joy. Remembering, on the other hand, is a very positive use of thinking of the past. And that's what they're saying here. They want to remember that the Lord has done great things for us in the past. And remembering, unlike nostalgia that is obsessing about the past, remembering is much like, and I've said this before, my arm is a member of my body. If I cut my arm off and they remembered it, they would be bringing it back so that I could use it in the present. And remembering is to look back in a very positive way and say, the past had some difficult times, but the past showed that God's faithfulness was present. And if God can lead me to this point, I can live in the present knowing that His faithfulness continues. So it's not about obsessing and going back to some normal that no longer exists. It's about seeing that God was faithful and had done great things for us in the past, and now, in the next set of verses, we're living in the present. And look in verse 4. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad, joyous indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. The Negev is literally the Hebrew word for the desert. And he's saying, provide water in impossible places. See, I'm accustomed to joy and water being where I see joy and water. But God, may I have a trust in you that trusts that you can provide water even when I can't see it. That even when I feel like I'm in the desert, that you're still good. That even when I don't see any good, you're still at work. Even when I see the bad, you're still at work. I read an interesting story this past week. Some of you know she was often on Billy Graham's crusades. Have you heard of Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom and her family, they gave shelter to Jews during the Nazi tragedy. But Corrie and her sister Betsy were actually captured and spent time in a concentration camp. And she writes in one of her stories that she and her sister had a terrible, I don't want to be gross or non-sensitive, but they had a terrible manifestation of fleas. And they hated it. And she wrote that they would complain day in and day out about the fleas in their life. And it wasn't life-threatening, but it was enough to take the joy away. You have fleas in your life? Things that aren't going to be life-threatening, aren't going to, you know, they're not major, but they just take the joy away. They're like fleas. And she argued, I mean, complained about this. But then she said that months later, when she was released, she learned the truth. That because her cabin or hut was infested with fleas, the German guards didn't do to the women in that hut the horrific physical and sexual things they did to all the other women, because they didn't want to go in this hut that was infested in fleas. And Corrie ten Boom said, I learned a wonderful lesson in this, that those things that are in my life that seem irritating and bad, God does use to work his faithful plan if we trust him. So we long for the past, remembering that God was good. We live in the present, seeing that even the bad, God works for the good. And then we see in the final verses of Psalm 126, is we're looking to the future. We're looking to the future. A Christian who understands the work of Christ and the message of the Scripture can never say the best is behind us. We always have to say that the best is yet to come. We always have to say that because we're living in a sin-torn world, and the whole purpose of Christ and his eschatological message is that we are going to a new heaven and a new earth. The best is always coming. Look in this verse. It's very interesting, verse 5. Sometimes because we hear this and it's in a hymn, we overlook it. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. The word sow there is what a gardener does. If you'll allow me to put it in more commercial terms, you invest your tears. Your tears are not just some wasted thing that's forgotten in your pain or loneliness. Your tears are an investment. Your tears, God sees your tears. Psalms 50 says he keeps it in a bottle. He knows your tears. And also we have the promise that we're looking for, that one day he's going to wipe away our tears. And we look forward to that when all things will be made right. So we're going to the new heaven and earth. I like to remind myself, and I remind you, that David said in Psalm 30 that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So if you're not joyous right now, you know why? It's not the morning. Because we have his word that in that morning, there will be joy. Eternal joy. Forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right to give you thanks and praise, Lord God, for you have clothed us with the garments of salvation and covered us with the robe of righteousness. In baptism, you forgive our sins, part the waters of our liberation, and bring us to the safe shore of everlasting life. In faithfulness, you keep our spirit and soul and body sound and blameless until the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his death, you dismantle the power of death, and in his resurrection, you raise up the joy of everlasting life. And so we greatly rejoice and exalt with our whole being in the sanctified company of angels and archangels of heaven, joining the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Abiding God, you made an everlasting covenant with your people. And when that covenant was jeopardized, you sent your Son, Jesus. In bread and wine, he reenacted your Passover promises and became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Send now your Holy Spirit on us that we may hold fast to what is good and live in the freedom of being your children. Send your Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, broke the bread, gave you thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of justice, send your Spirit upon your people in their wilderness. Bring good news to the oppressed and all who live with the chains of debt. Bind up the brokenhearted and any who languish in the slavery of another's scheming or the exile of their own folly. Proclaim liberty to the captives and those who live under the shadow of fear, at home, at work, or in their neighborhood. Announce release to the prisoners and to all who are incarcerated by their own body or the travails of their own mind. Usher in the year of your favor and deliver your people from sin and guilt and addiction and shame. Provide for those who mourn that they may have a garland instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Show us your face, everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You ever wondered how Mary knew? And we'll hear that song, which we always hear. And of course she knew, because Gabriel told her. But she couldn't comprehend it, as we fail to comprehend all that we know. But have you ever thought about what she said at that first miracle at the wedding of Cana? When they ran out of wine. And very much seeming like a side comment, she said, Mary said to the servants, whatever he says unto you, do it. Mary, if you think about it, why did she say that? She said that before Jesus did any miracles, before he said any parables. He had not begun his ministry. He had not done anything to indicate that he was the Messiah. But she said, whatever he says unto you, do it. For all she knew, that was just her baby boy that she nurtured and tended to and has seen grow and work in the family business. I'm going to suggest to you that Mary said that because she remembered. Not what she had seen. Because up until that time, all she saw was a normal-looking 30-year-old Jewish male. But she remembered what she had heard. And in that Magnificat, where God promised that this would be the Savior, she remembered what she had heard. Brothers and sisters, we live life following her example, not basing our joy on that which we see around us, but basing our joy on what we have heard, that he will never leave nor forsake us, that he will safely bring us to that eternal morning. That is our joy. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive his very body and his very blood. We practice by intinction, so I'll give you the host. You dip it into the chalice, then come forth. Katie will be here to pray with you if you'd like someone to join with you in prayer. This is a time to come and to receive the gift that was given for us, our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast. Thank you. With the psalmist, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We cling to your goodness. We cling to your faithfulness. We cling to your Son, our Savior. Therein is our joy. We rejoice in you. In your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship with the final hymn. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.